She came and she requested to Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu that, oh my uncle, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu was her uncle. She was the daughter of Hazrat Hamza radiallahu anhu. The fathers were brothers. Hazrat Hamza radiallahu anhu was the uncle of Rasulullah, the uncle of Hazrat Hamza radiallahu anhu. And also Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu was also the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So here, the daughter came to Hazrat Hamza radiallahu anhu and said, oh my uncle. The daughter of Hazrat Hamza radiallahu anhu came in to envy Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu and said, oh my uncle. That, in other words, take me with you. You're going back now to Madinatul Munawwara. Take me with you also. So Sahaba was such that they loved to take care of people. They loved to engage and interact and be kind and courteous, etc. So he wanted to keep this child and look after her and grow her up. But at the same time, what happened was Hazrat Jafar radiallahu an, who was the brother of Hazrat Ali radiallahu an, he came and he also requested that I also have a claim that this is also the uncle, my uncle's daughter. And at the same time, my wife is her khala. So I got two claims against her. Like how Hazrat Ali radiallahu an is saying that this is my uncle's daughter. This is also my uncle's daughter. But I've got one additional claim, is that my wife is her khala, her maternal aunt. Hazrat Zayd radiallahu anhu also came and said that she is the daughter of my brother. This is the claim I got, that she is my niece, my brother's daughter, so I would like to keep her. So this was the spirit Sahaba had. Not that each person was looking to see how the next person can take care of someone. Each one wanted to take care of themselves so they could get that reward. So when this came up to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he said this, that al-khalatu bi manzilatil the khala, the maternal aunt, is in the same capacity, in the same position as the mother, obviously in the absence of the mother. So she was awarded to Hazrat Jafar radiallahu an. In other words, Hazrat Jafar radiallahu an could take care of her because his wife was her maternal aunt. Then the chapter, Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi completed the chapter, we explained that he touched on a few hadith, the hadith of Juraj, the one we explained, and the other hadith about the hadith of the cave, where the three people took refuge in the cave, and because of the barakat of looking after their parents and seeing to the needs, this person took he came home a little late and his parents were already sleeping, but that milk that he would bring for them every night, he stood by their bedside. And through the barakat of that, his own family was hungry and waiting. But out of respect for his parents, he stood the whole night. That what if they wake up in the middle of the night, they're a little bit hungry. Even to save them that little bit of trouble, to see that they're looking for something and they don't have it, I will save them the trouble. With that niyat, only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the barakat of that dua, Allah Pak answered. And one third of that boulder was moved where they could come out of the cave. And the other two people also, we know that incident, a long incident, they also made dua. One thing that comes out of that hadith, ulama explain, is that through amal, through actions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it such that a person's duas gets answered. Every one of us wants our duas to get answered. But one of the ways to get our duas answered is do good deeds for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Through the barakat of that good deeds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer our duas. So anyway, the chapter finished. It was a long chapter. He explained that many ahadith I had left out that were included in the chapter of joining family ties and respect to parents. Just to keep it concise, I have left out many ahadith. Don't think that these are the only ahadith that got to do with the maintenance of family or maintaining of family ties and to do with respect to parents. There are many ahadith to show us their importance. Here he's brought another chapter, a new chapter, Babu Tahrim al-Uquqi wa Qati'ati al-Rahim, the chapter on the prohibition of disobedience to parents and the prohibition of severing family ties. In other words, he's bringing it from another angle. All those warnings that come in the hadith about a person who doesn't respect his parents and goes and he severs family ties, what warnings are coming, that's what he had brought now. Many ayat of the Quran, just to mention one or two. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ بِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed that you don't worship anybody else and you be extremely kind to your parents. Here we mentioned also before that immediately after the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Pak brings the rights of the parents. And other ayat of the Quran also Allah brings, وَإِذَا خَزْنَا مِثَاقَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا اللَّهُ بِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the hakiki, the real cause of a person being in this world. But even the zahiri sabab, the outward cause is your parents. that they were the output cause. Allah Pak wants you must respect that also. So immediately after the Hakiki Sabbath, he brought the Zahiri Sabbath, that respect your parents, be very kind to your parents. So the first hadith of this chapter, and Abi Bakrin نفيع ابن الحارث رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ألا أنبئكم بأكبر الكبائر. حضرت أبو بكر نفيع ابن الحارث رضي الله عنه, he says that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, should I not inform you of the biggest sin? In other words, from the kabair, from the major sins, which is the most serious from the major sins? Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this three times, salasan, three times he told Sahaba, should I not inform you of the biggest of the major sins? In other words, how serious these sins are. Qulna bala ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sahaba naturally they said, yes, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do inform us. Qala al-ishraqu billah. The first thing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that to ascribe a partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the most serious crime, the most heinous crime. Then وَعُقُوقُ الْوَالِدَيْنِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, immediately after that he said, disobedience to parents. You can imagine, three times he told Sahaba, should I not inform you of the most serious of the major sins? And then he told them that committing shirk, and immediately after that he said, disobedience to parents. To show how serious this disobedience to parents is, that immediately with shirk, and immediately after shirk he mentions, وَعُقُوقُ الْوَالِدَيْنِ, that a person is disobedient to his parents. وَكَانَ مُتَّكِئًا فَجَلَسَ. So this Sahabi is saying, at that time when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saying this, he was lying down. He was lying down and he was explaining this to us. فَجَلَسَ, immediately after that he sat up. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat up. فَقَالَ أَلَا وَقُولُ الزُّورُ وَشَهَادَةُ الزُّورُ. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam added this. He said that to say false, to make false statements, this is a serious thing, to make false statements, wa shahadatu zur, and to give false testimony. In other words, you know the reality of the matter, but because the person is your buddy, because he's your friend, because he's an influential person, or because you are frightened for this person, so because of that, you give testimony in his favor, you give false testimony, and you know the case is not as you are saying it. So this Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ulama explained why did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sit up when he was lying down before this. He said, just to show us and to impress upon us that making false statement is so serious that to impress upon it, he even stood up, even sat up, and then he said this. He said that, and then the Rawi of the Hadith, who's mentioning the Hadith, he said, فَمَا زَالَ يُكَرِّرُهَا حَتَّى قُلْنَا لَيْتَهُ سَكَتَ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued repeating these words until we wished and we hoped that he would just remain silent. Why the Sahaba mentioned, why they saying this, that they wished he remained silent, was out of serious love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He sat up here and he said this, that you're making false statements, something that we take so lightly today. A person says something, he knows maybe it's not true, or he adds his own masala to the story and he makes this story now a new story. So this will fall under qawl uzur, a person is making false statements, or wa shahadat uzur, he's giving false testimony. He's saying that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam emphasized this so much that we just wished he would keep quiet. Why did we wish he would keep quiet? For two reasons. One is we feared that Allah's azab mustn't come down. He's the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's saying this so much, so repeatedly he's saying this. We are scared that suddenly Allah's azab mustn't come and take us. One explanation ulama give. The other explanation is they could see how serious and difficult this was on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was such a serious matter on him that he continued saying this. So we just hope he would keep quiet so that matter eases upon him. So his tabiat will feel a little bit easy. So out of love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we just wanted him to be at ease. So we wanted him to just remain silent and stop saying these words so he could be at ease. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all tawfiq. These are all very, very serious things in our deen, respect to parents, and at the same time being very honest and making honest statements. And if we ever asked, somebody ever asked us to give a testimony in a situation where we may have been a witness, then we should be very honest in the matter. Be very, very, very honest. Sometimes a person gets a phone call and he's asked about a certain boy or a certain girl and he knows, but he doesn't want to say. Rather he say, I don't want to say, then say the wrong thing just for the sake of getting that girl married or getting that boy married, or maybe that person is his friend, so now he knows his friend will get a job, and he knows that his friend is not worthy of that job, but just to give him the job, he'll make those false statements. He should think of this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that how serious this was. He stood up, he sat up, and he continued repeating these words, showing us how serious it is to make a false statement. Allah Pak give us all tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al mursalin, walhamdulillah.